topic of this meeting is no matter what, I would like to introduce our first speaker, David D.
You don't have to clap. Oh, God, here we go. Last time I had one of these, David, I'm an addict. I'm trying not to stick my foot in my mouth. I'm going to try not to lie to you. If I talk more than 20 minutes, I will be lying to you. So I have 20 minutes to tell you, skim over parts of my recovery. How's that sound? The topic is no matter what. And the wonderful thing about no matter what is that you're all here to hear either something I say or something that Rochelle says, whether you know it or not. I mean, you could have been downstairs, you could have been outside smoking, you could have been looking on your phone, you could have been in traffic coming here, but there's a reason why you're here. And whether you acknowledge it or not, the God of your understanding brought you here, okay? Now, I know that to be true. He asked me to speak. I was sitting in my truck outside a meeting, and this thought came, or this voice came and said, they're going to ask you to speak. And I'm not a convention speaker. I'm not. I have too many things I have done that I probably would lead you astray in the things that I've done. So what I do now is I practice a more spiritual program rather than a religious program. And that keeps me centered. And that keeps me centered. So the voice came to me and said that they're going to ask you to speak. And I went into the NA meeting down at the FTW. And a guy asked me to speak. And I thought he was asking me to speak at that meeting, and he asked me to speak at this. And from that time on, I've been shitting myself. That is the truth. So I prayed. I prayed 3 or 4 times that I could give a message to you. And one of the wonderful things is I picked up the Just for Today. I don't normally read it every day, but I picked it up today for February 24th. If you read it, it's wonderful today. It's about where you are going to be and what you're going to do and what you're going to replace drugs with. And it's all about love and joy and peace and fellowshipping, NA meetings, sponsorship, giving away what was freely given to you, freedom from active addiction. And that's why you're here. That is why. That's the ultimate reason. So there's a lot of things that happened in my life. I got 20 minutes, so I try to put it into 15 and go hide in the back. God, I don't know where to begin. I'll start with H&I. I got a job at H&I when I first... Well, I don't even have to do that. There's a woman in here who was at my first meeting I went to. Her name is Bernadette. Could you show everybody who you are?
I'm Abby.
All right, in May of this month, I'll have 39 years clean.
That's right.
So she gave away what was freely given to her to give to me, and that's freedom from active addiction. I said it. And it's the truth. All of us have a purpose in life. God didn't save us from swimming with the sharks for us to die on a beach. Believe me. All of us have a message, whether you believe it or not. But we're all God's children. And we're here for a special reason. And that is to stop the disease of addiction outside this hotel door. To pull somebody up from the bottom pits of despair who want to kill themselves because they just can't get one fucking more. You know what I mean? I mean, you can go anywhere in Baltimore City or in the United States and you'll see people in desperation just willing to give up their life because they hit a bottom. They don't know what else to do. And it's our responsibility to tell them what to do. I mean, we got the tools here to take care of ourselves, the steps and traditions. All we have to do is show them a little bit of what God's given us. Love. The most important thing that we ever discovered since we came here is love. Yes. We have love for our sponsor. We even have love for the people who put us down and told us we weren't going to matter, that we were never going to be anything.
That's
right. And we even pray for them. Can you believe that? Wow. So anyway, I started in H&I. I didn't like it. I didn't like it because I had to go to jails. And I was talking to a guy before I came here when I walked out of a prison down in Baltimore City. I walked across a sign that said, "Never again." And one of my favorite sayings is, "Never again, never alone, never alone, never again." Got to give away what's freely given to me. Ever since my first meeting, I was diagnosed as manic depressive, so I always felt like I was slighted, and wherever I went, I never felt a part of. So I got involved in H&I because I was taking meetings into prisons and hospitals, and I started a meeting over in, it was called Bayview, it's now John Hopkins, and I started a meeting over there on Wednesday night for the patients or for whoever wanted to come in. And I had another guy who belonged to the same home group with me, and we carried the message. And the thing about Narcotics Anonymous or anything, really, when we get clean, something happens to us. Some of us drift away. Some of us start taking a shower and brushing our teeth and getting new clothes and new threads and a new vehicle and whatever, and we start thinking we don't belong here and we can do it on our own. Well, that guy with me who started that H&I meeting thought the same thing, and he's been gone now for 30-some years. As a result of this program, he thought that he could do it his way. He thought that he could join a softball team where he worked, and the bars led him right back to his drug of choice. So that bummed me out. I can tell you that right now. I was pretty close to the guy. We did a canoeing camping trip going down the Shenandoah River for West Side area back in, I think, 1986. And we got pretty close. You know, if you want to get to know people, do the events in Narcotics Anonymous. They're very enlightening, and you're going to meet all kinds of people. Even when you go camping, you might even see me running through the woods naked. I'm going to tell you that right now, because I've been known to do that. I didn't use over that. A lot of people told me about my shortcomings, but I didn't give in to it. So the second part of... this one's a killer. I sponsored this guy. His name was Jerry, and no matter what I tried to do, I couldn't keep him clean. He was also a manic depressive, and he was a manic depressive. And he had real high highs and real low lows. The thing about Narcotics Anonymous is it taught me to be compassionate and loving and caring. It's opened my heart to people. And I'm a very emotional person, and I try not to be. But this guy I really loved, and I really wanted him to get this program. I met his brothers and his family, but I couldn't keep him clean, and NA couldn't keep him clean. So, this is a part of it. I met a woman in Narcotics Anonymous. I had 4 years clean. I started dating her. You know, she told me she wanted to go to bed with me the first time I met her, so I married her. That's the truth. The sex was good, but it wasn't that good for I don't know how to say this. I'm as honest as they come. And sometimes it's brutal. So, we did real well for a while. I took a job up in Philadelphia as a lower management job. I was working 80 hours a week, traveling back and forth to Philadelphia. I couldn't make the train connection even though I worked for Amtrak. I retired from there after 34 years, but I couldn't make the rides. So my wife called me when I was in Philadelphia to make sure I was there, and she was with somebody else. And I didn't know it at the time. I had, you know how we all are. We all seem to know something is going on even though we're really not sure. You know what I mean? So I don't know if I should share this either. So, I don't know how to get around it. God created me for a reason. And my reason, his reason, is for me to carry the message. So, my wife had an affair with another guy in my sponsorship family. I used to have sponsorship meetings at my house, and we would go over the steps and traditions. And then we had a lot of guys in my sponsorship and their sponsees. And one of the guys in my sponsorship family started having an affair with my wife when I was working in Philadelphia. So I confronted her about what was going on, and I said, I like women to wear white nighties. And my wife had green on. And I said something to her. I said, who are you dressing up for? And she said, we got to talk. And we talked. And she told me she loved the guy. And I've been married 7 years, going on in a 9-year relationship. My knees are shaking.
It's okay. We're all here.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know that. So, she told me that she loved the guy, and I figured, well, what the hell? There ain't nothing left I can do here. I went to an NA meeting, and that's what we're supposed to do. And I sat outside on the vestibule of the NA meeting, and I said, fuck it, I may as well get high now. And a voice came to me again, and it said, well, this next person walking down the steps can be your sponsor. And that guy walking down the steps was my friend Jerry. And I knew he couldn't be my sponsor, because he couldn't stay clean. And the God of my understanding has led me to Narcotics Anonymous, and I've been clean ever since I walked in. So if I can be with him and live in his mercy and his love, don't you know he's going to allow his mercy and his love to shine through me to all of you. And you know what gets me the best is that he's already in all of you, shining outward to me. That's the most beautiful part. That's why you are here. You're here to give away your love. I didn't get high. I stuck and stayed in NA. It was the hardest thing to do, is to go into a meeting and see my wife with a guy in my sponsorship family, not anymore, and that he's sitting there drinking a coffee with my wife. I tell you what, I had more emotions of killing them both than anybody in this room. And I was told by the people in this room, no, you got to let that go. You know how fucking hard that was? So a lot of you already know. Nothing happens overnight. You got to work at it. Okay? So God gave us these steps. Wonderful steps. The only thing it doesn't talk about is the one thing that you get from all of them. It's love. When you work them, we change. Everyone I know who's in Narcotics Anonymous with a substantial amount of clean time has a God of their understanding. And if you haven't found him, you're really robbing yourself, because he's going to open up more doors and windows than you ever seen in your life. You're going to be the greatest person you ever met. You're going to love the person you are. You're going to love the person you drive with, which is you. You're going to love wherever you're at. And I guarantee you, you know, not every day is rosary and wonderful and loving and life shows up. But a day clean is better than any day using. And if you don't believe me, ride down Utah Street, Baltimore City, or go up to Kensington Avenue in Philadelphia. Go anywhere in Arizona or California. So I got one more thing. I didn't use, no matter what. Now this is another killer. When we come into the program, they ask us to get a sponsor, and the sponsor should have the ability of working through the 12 steps. I asked the guy to sponsor me when I had... Well, the first guy asked me to... The first guy died. The second guy took my inventory, and I fired him. Third guy I picked up, and he was my sponsor for 17 years. And the thing about it is, he had 2 years more than me, and I thought, you know, well, he's got an A under his belt, he knows how it works and all that. And I love him to this day, and I'm not going to mention his name. A lot of you know him. A lot of you in here know him. He broke my anonymity, and it's one thing to do a fifth step with somebody and take in their pain and their suffering and show them compassion and love and treat it like, you know, that they confided in you all their deepest and darkest secrets and how honored you should be that they trust you. And then to turn around and share it with somebody else in an open meeting is pretty bad. I don't care who you are. It's damaging. And, you know, it put a bad light on Narcotics Anonymous. And it took me 5 years after that to ever trust another guy in NA. I walked around here for a long time with no sponsor. And I turned my attention to the God of my understanding, you know. He told me, stick and stay. Get involved in Narcotics Anonymous. Carry the message. Be a part of service. Give away what was freely given to you. And no matter what, love. Love whoever comes in your peripheral view. Treat people like you want to be treated. Hey, I'm not telling you nothing that you haven't already heard or if you already practice. I'm just reinforcing it. Because God's got you here captivated. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. I would like to introduce our next speaker, Rochelle C.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Rochelle and I'm an addict. And I definitely belong here. I just want to thank the Northeast Freedom Area Convention. James is the one who asked me to do this meeting. And you guys have done a great job. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the convention. I'll be glad when this part is over. Okay, so the topic is no matter what. And I'm not a convention speaker. This is not my thing to do. I like to be one-on-one. I will love you. I like hugging. I love being, in the beginning, I used to love being the center of attention. Not anymore. I like being on the outskirts, you know, and just helping people one-on-one. So, little backstory of how I got here is... I was adopted, I was molested, and I never felt loved until I came to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. So I started using, and you know, we all know how to use. Went through high school, all-girl high school, was nominated class clown for all 4 years. And that's something to be proud of. So went through all that and graduated high school, still not growing up. Just did not know what I wanted to be when I grew up. And my addiction took me to being a dancer down on the block. Perfect job, worked all night, slept all day, you know, and did whatever I had to do to get what I needed to move on. So, my first bout with Narcotics Anonymous was January of 1993. And I came to the rooms, actually it was a little bit before that, but anyway, I came to the rooms, I'm lying. 1986 was my first bout. I got caught by my mother smoking weed, and my uncle was in the other fellowship, and she sent me here as a punishment. And my first meeting that I ever went to in 1986 was You Get What You Need. Wow. And I was there, and I met this guy, and he rode a motorcycle, and he was a firefighter, and yeah, started an F ship, sat in the back of the room, you know, just, it was a joke. It was just a joke. And the bottom line was, is that I was not ready. Speed it up, came January 1993. Miserable, absolutely freaking miserable. Could not stand being in my own skin. If I could have stepped out of it, I would have. And I weighed about 80 pounds. I was very sickly. My mother took me to the doctor. They said I was anemic, and I was like, yep, that's my problem. So come to a few months later, March 20th was my last night using. I used all that night till March 21st the next day, and I was just like, oh my God, what have I done again? So I went to my first meeting, Live and Let Live. Dennis D was celebrating 10 years clean that night. And I never felt so much love in one room in my entire life. And I was like, this is what I need. I had searched through love through sex, gambling, shopping, everything. It just did not work. So I started going to meetings and made Live and Let Live my home group. Met this girl. She had a couple of years clean. Her name was Jen. She's no longer with us. And she was my road dog, no matter what. Took me to my first convention. I had 7 months clean. We joined the hug squad. And, you know, because I was attention seeking. Everything outside of myself. Short shorts, little top, who was looking at me? And there was a gentleman who came in and, you know, kind of caught my eye. He ended up being that main speaker that night. And I was like, I'm going to get me some of that. Yeah. 20-some years later. 3 children later. A marriage that he ended up cheating. Devastated to me, to my core. To my core. I didn't know if I was going to be able to come back from that, because my whole worth, my whole life was so wrapped up in being this wife. And I don't know how or why I did that to myself for so long. 3 greatest gifts came from that. Come on. I have 3 sons, 27, 19, and 17. Broke the cycle. Broke the cycle. Not one of them have been sexually abused. Not one of them have not heard, "I love you," on a daily basis. Narcotics Anonymous taught me how to love other people, how to learn to love myself, no matter what. So I had a sponsor share my first 4-step with her. She ended up sharing it. Devastated me. I had a hard time trusting. I didn't trust women to begin with when I got here. I forgot where I was going. Anywho, my marriage ended, and my best friend passed away. The girl that I met when I first got clean in the home group, and she had a couple years clean, she ended up using, she had lupus, and it sped up the process. And they said when, I guess she was diagnosed, she was ex-Marine, blah, 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 she only had 20 years to live, which was way before me meeting her, and I almost had 20 years with her. So this happened at the same time. Not only did I lose my husband, but I lost my best friend. The person that loved me no matter what, unconditionally, whether I was caught up in this sick eggshell walking, not sure who I was relationship. A character defect came out one night, and I was going to try to skip around it, but the reality of it is we all go through stuff here, you know, and we got in an argument, and I'm going to, you know, whatever, and he left the house, and I wasn't done, and I went out the door and proceeded. As he was driving off, I jumped on the hood of the car. Yeah. So as he got to the top of the freaking street, I was like, it like hit me, like, what are you doing? So luckily there was a stop sign. I slid off the car. And at that moment, I started to take a look at the insanity I had been webbed in. I don't know any other word right this second. So, I made it through the divorce. I made it through losing my best friend. I went to therapy for a year. I needed help. I needed to discover who Rochelle was. I had no idea, and I share this too all the time, because I had no idea what kind of eggs I liked. And that movie, Runaway Bride, Julia Roberts, if you haven't seen it, it's a good movie. She did not know what kind of egg she liked, because no matter what man she was with, she ate whatever. Oh, they're my favorite. Scrambled eggs, oh, they're my favorite. Oh, runny ones, they're my favorite, but they're not. You know, and I would just chameleon, you know,
sure,
and be whomever you wanted me to be. And I did not know who I was. So I started from the beginning, stupid little things. So what was my favorite season? What was my favorite color? What was my favorite food? And I just started building myself back up block by block. You know, when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, there's only a few people that know me from when I came in here. I was shy. I was very timid. I didn't say anything for the first year of my recovery. I was terrified. I was terrified to speak, because what I heard was, sit down, be quiet, take the cotton out of your ears, put them in, yeah, I always say it backwards, put it in your mouth, and if we want to know how to get high, we'll ask you. And they did not say it very nicely. And personally, I'm glad I got clean when I got clean, because I did not get lost. I was not lost. I was held accountable for my decisions, for my things that I did, and, you know, whatever. So, see what happens? It's hell getting on here. My brain doesn't work like it used to. But there's so much that has happened over the years, you know, and I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. I was a part of Live and Let Live. It was a Hitler-ass meeting. Hitler-ass meeting. You better abide by these traditions and you better abide by these rules. And I was so naive that I thought that what they were saying was part of the program. Until years later that I figured it out, it wasn't. But I, you know, went off this information that I was taught. And I remember just not, like I said, that's what it was. It was very timid, and it was during a group conscience meeting. And guy was like all up, and I, you know, and I stood up and I said, I don't think so, not today. You know, I got a voice. And if you don't have a voice in your group conscience, you have a purpose. You have a decision. You are at this meeting for a reason. Open your mouths. Because, unfortunately, we can't help you unless you let us in and tell us. You know, and it's one of the hardest things. When I got clean, of course, it was before phones. Before, I think there might have been a pager. I don't know. Who knows? You know, that phone was a pain in the ass. Can I have one? And, thank you. Unbelievable. I don't smoke weed anymore, but I sure the hell get cotton mouth.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes, girl.
You know?
Yes, girl.
But the nerves were just like rattling. They were rattling, you know. And my best friend prayed with me, you know, brought in a loving, you know, higher power of God. And then I was walking out from that. Dave said, come with me. And he pulled me in and we prayed. And if I had to do this meeting with anybody, I'm very grateful it was with Dave. I've known Dave since I came in here. You know, I don't feel intimidated by him. I know that he loves me unconditionally, and he wants the best for me. I don't feel threatened by him.
I love you, Ruth.
You know, love you too. You know, there's people in here with more clean time than me, and it's intimidating. You know, I want to be able to give you a clear, precise message of Narcotics Anonymous. I don't know what your God wants you to hear today. All I know is if you're struggling, if you're high, if you're on maintenance, you're in the right place. Because we will love you until you learn to love yourself. Mm-hmm. Third tradition, the only requirement for membership is a desire mm-hmm. to stop using.
That's right, girl.
And I'll get off that soapbox. Because I'm very passionate about that, you know, and I'm very passionate about a lot of things, you know. Not everybody likes me. I don't like everybody, you know, but I have to be loving and caring and try to do the next right thing, you know. And unfortunately for this addict, I hurt the person that I love the most. So, where I'm at today, I have no idea how long I've been talking. Okay. So where I'm at today, I have a sponsor. I work my steps. This coming March, I will have 30 years clean. Woo! Woo! And I have been tripping on that for probably 6 months because somebody that I've idled, somebody that I love dearly, picked up after 30 years clean. Mm-hmm. And she's not here anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm terrified. I think it's a healthy fear. I don't want to get high. I don't want to use. I don't want to harm myself in any way, shape, or form. I have learned to love Rochelle for who she is today. I work, I live in Severna Park, and I work over in Dundalk. And I drive over to Key Bridge every day. And the other day, I'm heading towards Severna Park, so coming in towards Dundalk, I don't know if that's northeast, south, or west, whatever. It's irrelevant at this point. The traffic is stopped. There's a car. There's one of them, what do you call them, wooden platform things, wooden slat, some kind of
pallet.
Thank you. So there's a wooden pallet laid up against the wall. And my heart sunk because at that moment I knew that someone felt so desperate that they could not go on. And I'm here to tell you, hold on. Yeah. You are on, you're in for the ride of your life. I promise you, it will not be easy. I promise you, you will get your fucking feelings hurt. I promise you that your best friend or your, you know what I mean? Whatever. Shit happens. But if you hold on, you can get to the other side. And it's so powerful. It's so beautiful. It's been a journey, you know. There's been a few no matter what. My thing is that I don't want to get high. I'd like to get high just to lose 30 pounds. Like, I know that if somebody would help me control smoking that coke, then I could probably lose 30 pounds. You know, yeah. That's that thing. Yes. That comes, thinking, you know, yeah. And it comes, and, you know, and the reality of it is by working the steps and by working with my sponsor and by, you know, sponsoring women and going to meetings and doing the next right thing, that I don't have to live that way today, you know. By no means do I have to live that way today. I'm a good person. I can be quirky. And I have, today is the 24th of February of the year 2023. And in 3 years, I mean three, oh my God, 3 years. In 3 days, I will have been married for 1 year.
There you go.
I had, after that relationship, I was done. There ain't no way. I didn't want no part, no man. I just didn't, you know. I was hurt to my core. And after doing some work and, you know, whatever, on myself and doing the next right thing, I ended up going to this convention 7 years ago today. 7 years, right? Oh my God, this convention. And what happened was, is that I got humbled by this man because he was working the registration and I had worked it out for me to get a registration at the pre-sale instead of at the door sale. Uh-huh. And he's like, nope, your name's not on the thing. And I'm like, you need to check again. My name's on there. I did the right thing. You know, blah, 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 blah. So-and-so came around the corner, and I said, tell him. And she's like, no, you didn't, I don't know, didn't confirm or didn't whatever. I don't even really remember. And I literally dropped to my knees in the middle of this convention. It was just like, I was so humiliated. And I'm like, oh, my God. So luckily, I didn't get belligerent. I didn't, you know, whatever. But I was I thought I was correct. So I ended up like getting him a cheeseburger or whatever. And, you know, I had to make up somehow. And we started talking because my roommate at the time knew him from her using days and like these parties that he used to have and blah, blah, blah. So Terry and I ended up connecting, and he ended up reopening Rochelle to such a fun world. The motorcycles that I had, you know, got away from, you know, just fun. Oh my God, so much fun. And getting me outside and, you know, just different things. And we ended up getting married last year on the 27th of February. And it has been a journey. It has probably not been the most pleasant. you know, we didn't live together. So here we are. We got married, and we now are living together. And I work in Dundalk, and his house is in Dundalk. And we're living in Severna Park because I still have one child left in school. And so we went from seeing each other, you know, a couple days a week to 7/24, and it just did not work out. It did not work out. So we ended up having to, you know, communicate and talk and, you know, kind of figure shit out and whatever. So, but no matter what, I'm not running today from the relationship. No matter what, I'm sure in hell not stepping outside of the relationship. Mm-hmm. That's not who I am. I don't believe in that. I don't do that and whatever. And never have I ever trusted a man the way that I trust my husband.
That's right.
I'm 54 years old, and that's a few relationships that I've been in. That is a prominent freaking thing to say. You know, we don't lie to each other. There's no secrets. There's not deceit. There's not any of that. And I am very grateful for that because that is very, very important to me. I guess in closing, I will say that no matter what, you can get through anything. I'm not a big thumper of the literature, even though I do read. It kind of goes in and goes out. But I'm going to see if I can say this correctly. You can't live your life thinking your life into a new way of living. You have to live your life into a new way of thinking.
Yes.
And that's been very prominent to me in my search. You know, with God and being closer and knowing no matter what. I'm going to share this little story that there was, you know, tapes. And I came across a CD. I can't even tell you who the speaker was. And she was very prominent. And it wasn't from this state. So she was very prominent and living the good life and, like, all this stuff. Like, was married to, like, an athletic, like, football player or something. And, like, had it all. And something happened to her back. And she was in the hospital. And her husband never came. Her husband never showed up. And she was by herself. And the relationship grew between her and God.
Amen.
And the reality of it is that no matter what, there'll come a time when you are by yourself. Absolutely. Between your thoughts and the man upstairs. And I'll keep coming back. Thank you.